I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting The Do-Over by T.L. Swan. Are you ready? Okay, we've got a great episode for you all today. Cheryl and I have been huge fans of the Miles High Club Boys since we started reading them. And The Do-Over just recently came out. So naturally, both of us were like immediately reading first day. So we're going to be chatting that today. But we are also going to talk all of them. So if you have not read the entire Miles High Club series and don't want spoilers, stop now, go read, and then come back.
Definitely come back.
Right? Yeah. Because we want to chat all the boys.
I mean, they're all tied together, right?
Yes, they are.
Technically, you could just read any of these just as a standalone, but you don't want
to. No, because you're missing so much.
You want them all.
Do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Want all of them.
And like, I feel like each of the later books is, the backstory, and also like the later books are like epilogues for the first book because you find out where they are like a few years later, what's happening in their lives. And so, it's just lovely. So you can read them in any way you want, but I would recommend reading them in order and in complete.
Yes. I mean, just start with the first one and go straight through and then come back and listen to this podcast.
That's right.
But if you have read them all, we're going to chat them today. And I'm so excited because I think this is one of my favorite spicy series of all time.
And it's definitely, I mean, this has got to be the spiciest book we've talked about so far on here, right?
Oh, on here in general.
On here.
I meant like out of all of the Miles High Club books. No, definitely in general on here. Yeah.
So there's these books that really, I'm fanning myself here. They really, they really have some great content. They're a fiery heart on our Steam Meter rating, if you know that, on our Instagram page. There's a lot in these books. Woo. And they all kind of have little different tropes and little different twists. So do you want to start at the beginning and remind ourselves and everybody which brother? So each of the books is about one brother, their last name Miles.
There you go,
the Miles High Club series. Which book is about which couple?
Yes. So The Stopover, do you have them all written there?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
The Stopover is the first one. So that one's Jameson and Emily. So we're going in descending order of age with the brothers. So Jameson is the oldest.
His brother.
Book comes first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jameson and Emily meet on a plane. He introduces himself as Jim. They have like their flight has a stopover. And he's a bit older than her, like almost 15 years older. Mm-hmm. But they're very attracted to each other. They have a great conversation. They end up spending their stopover together, having this rockin' one night stand.
Oh, yeah.
And then they go their separate ways. Mm-hmm. And a year post hookup, she goes into her new job. And who does she find is the boss? Jameson Miles. Yeah. So Jim is actually Jameson. Mm-hmm. And he's not really her direct boss. He's like owns the company. He's the CEO of the company and she's a reporter. So it's a media company, Miles Media, and she's working for him. And it takes a while. He tries to engage her right away to kind of restart what they had. And she's not going for it. But, you know, eventually we do get there, of course.
Yes, we do.
So that's the first one, Jameson and Emily. Then we have The Takeover.
Which is Tristan and
Tristan
Claire.
And Claire. So these ones, they meet at work.
Yes.
Because Tristan is trying to buy Claire's company. So Claire owns a media company. It was her husband's and he passed away. And she's running it, but it's failing. It's not doing well financially. So he offers to buy the company. She very much does not want to sell it. They do not meet on good terms. They do not hit it off until a little while later, she's sent on a business retreat because her secretary, I think, basically says, this would be good for you. You need to get away. It's like a, how would you describe that conference? Like a inspirational business.
Yeah.
Like hype you up, learn.
Yeah, because Tristan's speaking at it, right?
He's speaking at it, yeah. So she gets there, he's speaking at it. Yeah, motivational thing. That's right. That's description. I kept thinking of that guy. Who's that guy that does those conferences, you know?
I don't know.
You know, and he's really big and loud and...
Nope, no clue who you're talking about.
I can see his face in my head. Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins? Is that right?
I don't know.
You know, the guy with the big jaw and like, anyway.
No. I don't.
I think that's his name. Anyway, I'll put it in the show notes if I'm wrong. She goes to this conference and he does end up wooing her. They do spend time together at the conference. Again, have this mind-blowing sexual adventure. And he ends up taking her to Paris. Is it Paris they go? Where do they go for?
I believe somewhere.
Yeah, they go away for.
Is that where the conference is?
Was the conference in London and then they went to Paris?
Oh, maybe. Oh, I can't remember. I mean,
something like that.
Detail, but yeah.
Or vice versa. They go from one place to another and essentially have this whirlwind week. And then they come back to real life and try and figure out their relationship. The hitch in that book is that Claire has three sons. Mm-hmm. They're like 18, 10, and 6-ish. And so he has to also win over the sons, as well as trying to woo Claire. And of course, they get together in the end.
Yeah. I love that one.
That is my favorite one.
Yeah.
Then we have Elliot. So Elliot and Catherine, aka Kate, that is the book three, The Casanova. So Elliot, he's the head of the New York office of Miles Media. So it's Jameson in New York, Elliot in London.
Yes, London.
So mainly Jameson and Tristan work out of New York, and Elliot and Christopher work out of London. And Catherine has been working for him for like 7 years, but they are like work enemies. They're like terrible to each other. She's super cold to him. He's really mean to her. He keeps trying to get her to resign. It's just very, very tense until one night where he happens to be staying late at work and the security cameras on his computer show someone dancing in like a netball dress. So I'm
yes, she was
like
getting ready to go play, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she was. So she's wearing this like red tight lycra dress and doing photocopy stuff, whatever it is, and like dancing. And she turns around that he realizes who she is. And it gives him kind of this like, what moment? And from then on, he's like drawn to her, but she's, you know, doesn't trust that because they've been fighting for 7 years. And we all know where that goes with a lot of passion in between.
Love that one.
And then we're at the do-over. So the do-over is baby brother Christopher, who has a bit of a reputation among the brothers as being spoiled, entitled, couldn't do anything without his money, doesn't even know how to hire an Uber.
Right.
So he actually hints this in The Casanova. When I reread it, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that was in there, that he's like, you know, someday I'm just going to take a year and go away and do backpacking, and I'll meet somebody, and that's where I'll meet the love of my life, because I'm not going to find like socialites and whatever.
Yes.
So in the do-over, he goes through with that plan. He's like, gives himself a small amount of money. He has the stupidest fake name ever. They call him. He doesn't want to go by his real name, so instead of Christopher, he goes by Christo. Like, what the heck? Why don't you just go, how about Chris? Like, Christo is so undercover. No one will figure that one out.
I just loved, oh my gosh. I loved the brotherly banter.
Oh, they're so like, funny.
You can't do that. And like how he just literally is so entitled and spoiled that he legitimately does not understand the way of the world. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah, I have some of that highlighted from that conversation.
Yeah.
Tristan rolls his eyes as if I'm clueless. It's you who has no idea. You're way too selfish to have a wife and kids. It's never going to happen. Elliot smirks. He'll still be gangbanging chicks when he's 90, Jameson replies casually. For your information, I do not gangbang chicks. I readjust my tie in annoyance. I encourage group activities where everyone is treated equal. There's a big difference. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Opening, right? The opening scene is him essentially having a
three, two girls.
Yeah.
And we find out that that's his history.
That is his history. Yes. So
the men even tease him about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't have one at a time. He must have two.
No. Yes. So yeah, he goes to, where does he go? Spain?
Spain to start.
Spain.
Yep.
Yes. To start. He, I love how
it's so funny when he's preparing for the trip.
I was just going to say, when he goes to that store to get all of the beer. And the guy's
it's
just
so funny.
I could just picture the whole,
like, you have no idea.
The outdoor store worker just being like, dude. Like, okay.
Yeah. Now, have you ever been backpacking?
Cheryl, do I look like someone who would go backpacking?
No, you don't. But
okay. I mean, let's just be real.
Neither does Christopher, and he did it, so you never know.
I don't think I would survive, especially if it is, as they say in the book, my husband could do it, no problem. My husband packs in a backpack everything we need when we go away.
Yep.
I'm like a one, maybe one and a half suitcase kind of person. So it would not be something I could do. I guess it's not that I couldn't do it. I don't want to say I couldn't do it. It's just not something I personally would like to do. I don't think I'd enjoy it. I don't like camping. Yep. I want a shower. I don't, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't know
remember that
in the hostels, you know, I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, I don't like the idea of hostels. You know that there was that scene in the first book with Jameson and Emily, and she tries to get him to go camping.
Because yes.
He's super stressed out, right? Yeah. He's like very anxious, like, you need to get away from the city. We need to go to the country. And they have like the silliest, most everything could go wrong kind of camping trip ever. It's freaking hilarious.
That's what happened to me. I went camping one time, like just my own personal, my husband.
One time.
My husband and I are literally polar opposites, and they say opposites attract. So, but it's so funny because he, you know, he could survive on nothing, right? Like he would totally go and like live in the woods and like make it work. Right. But I went camping one time and literally everything that could go wrong went wrong. It rained. Everything was soaked. I was so miserable. Mm. I was like, get me out of here. I'm never going camping again. And so whenever I told my husband this story, he goes, well, you didn't camp right. And I was like, well,
yeah, I mean, right, it makes a big difference.
I guess so. But I was like, listen, if you want to take the kids camping, because I want them to go camping, I would love for them to go camping. I said, I have no problem going. You camp in a tent with them and I'm getting an RV. Like, that's it. I was like, I need a bed. I was like, I want a mattress, a good pillow, you know, like a shower, a toilet that I don't have to walk to.
A toilet. Like, toilet's a pretty big deal.
So anyway, no, I'm not your backpacking girl.
I grew up going camping because that was our family vacations. That's all we ever did.
Yeah.
And then when I was old enough, like out of high school, I started backpacking, but not like hostel backpacking, like trail, like go out
I
for
do
10
like
years
hiking.
In the woods kind of backpacking. But
for like an hour.
Yeah. So I used to know the deal, but that was like, you know, 25 years ago. Yeah. So when I read the scene of him in the camping store, I was laughing so hard because I was like, what has changed since my backpacking days that there's a dish in the bottom of the backpack for you to poop in? I was like, when would that be necessary? And the guy's like, well, if you're in a crowded area and then you like go in this and then dispose of it later. I'm like, if you're in a crowded area, what's the difference between pooping over a hole and pooping in the dish?
Yeah.
And then you have to put this dish back in your backpack?
Yeah.
It's like, is this a thing that people do now?
I wouldn't even use the dish. I will say we have had, there have been instances like that, you know, with traveling. When you're, you know, on a boat or somewhere on an island.
With kids.
That you've taken a boat to. And of course, someone has to poop. That's always what happens. So yes, I would much prefer just digging a hole and being like, squat over it. And then
well, and that's where you're going to put it eventually. So like,
what's the point?
I literally have a book that like I have a section of my extensive resource library that is from my, like, you know, there's surfing books and kayaking books and camping books, whatever. But the one book I have is, it's called How to Shit in the Woods.
What?
And it's a whole book.
It's a what? It's a what book?
It's a whole book. It's a whole book. Like, it's a book. Yeah.
I would need a bidet, but I have a travel bidet. So it actually.
Oh, I have a travel bidet too. So that would be fine. You're fine there. Essentially, the deal, you just like find a place away from water sources. You dig a hole a certain amount deep and you poop in the hole and then you cover it up. It's like, who wants a dish that's then dirty?
Right. No, I wouldn't. No.
It doesn't make any sense.
If I did have to do this, I could do it with my bidet. And then a towel. They make the little towels.
You can get like biodegradable toilet paper. So you can put a couple squares of that in there. Yeah, and
right.
Bury it all
up. Do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But my travel tushy is the way to go. I just brought it up.
Oh my gosh, so funny.
And my friends are laughing at me. They're like, is that your travel bidet? How does this work? I'm like, yeah, it's basically a Perry bottle, but for your ass. It's fine.
Right. You could, in fact, use a Perry bottle if you still have one around.
Exactly.
But this one just has like an angle on it.
Well, yes, but also mine kind of is like the accordion. You know how they have those water bottles that like smush down and then you pop it up, fill it up? That's how mine is. So it only.
Right. So it's better for packing.
Yeah. I bring it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have a water bottle like that. I brought it to Scotland and a coffee cup, actually.
They're oh, cool. That's cool.
Yeah. I could well, anyway, pooping talk over.
It's fine.
That just like it. I was laughing so hard at that. And then like they try and give him, the salesman tries to give him a camouflage water bottle. And he's like, you can wear it around your neck. And Christopher's like, if you think I'm wearing a camouflage water bottle around my neck, you need to go to the hospital. Yeah. And then he's like, the salesman is trying to convince him that he needs a sleeping bag.
Yes.
He's like, why do I need that? I'm going to be sleeping in hostels. He's like, you know, you still need a sleeping bag. Like, what if you're stuck in a train station or something? And then he asks them, do you sell mini mattresses? Something that folds up just like this little travel towel they gave him. Yeah. And the salesman throws his head back and laughs out loud. You're hilarious, man. And Christopher thinks it wasn't a joke. And this also had me wondering, because I'm like, there was those things when I was backpacking. Like, we had those, you know, inflatable thermarests, and they were small, like the size of a water bottle would be your thing. So I was like, so camping nowadays, backpacking nowadays, they not only have poop pans, but they don't have those mattresses anymore. Like, things have really gone downhill in the last 25 years.
I wouldn't know, but I mean, again, that whole scene made me did not convince me to go backpacking anytime soon.
No, it doesn't sound good at all. Good. Someone who's currently doing backpacking needs to chime in and tell me if this is if this is really accurate of the current scene, because yes. If so, things were better 25 years ago. Anyway, hilarious. And then they take the sleeping bag out. They can't even get it back in there.
Yes. Yeah, that would be me.
He's like, you have to roll it up. Like, and I'm like, yeah. You have to know how they went in, so you know, like, before you take it out, you have to pay attention so that you know how to get back in there. You know?
Yeah.
But they joke about needing lube to get the sleeping bag back in. It's just hilarious. Like, it is just, I laughed so many times during this whole scene.
I also loved when he gets to Spain and he has that one night, what did he call her?
A gorilla.
A gorilla. Yeah.
Which is really, like, at first I was like, I thought that he was just being kind of degrading and being like, you know, all women must be completely smooth.
No.
But he describes it better later and he's like, no, hair is okay. But yeah. Like halfway down your thigh.
Yes.
From her arm. Little.
Yeah. I mean, again, that was his, you know.
His description was, he's like, it's all gorillas in the mist up here.
Yeah. But it was what cracked me up was
down here.
Down here. There you go. What cracked me up, though, is how he left his stuff. As soon as he said he left his stuff on the table.
I know.
I was like,
I know.
You.
Oh, man.
I was like, yeah. I know exactly what's going to happen. Oh, my gosh.
And so it did. It happened. But how did she? So she steals his cards out of his wallet. How did she empty his bank account? Like, don't you need a code?
So, I mean, you're supposed to need a code, but here's the thing. You could also charge it as credit and they don't always check the signature or the license. And I don't know how they do things overseas, but like here in the US, if you don't have a signature on the back of your card, you're supposed to show ID so they could see, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah.
I feel like not everyone goes by that rule. So I could see how that would happen. That's how it happens all the time. Like when people lose their cards, you know? So he ends up with nothing, no money,
nothing. So and he had been trying to live off the limited amount anyway. $2,000. Well, good thing he did that, or she would have had a real heyday.
I know.
But, oh, and the other thing about her was not only that she was super super hairy, which, you know, to each their own, but she also the place she lived was so weird. He called it like the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes.
And then he goes to the bathroom, and the vanity cupboard is literally stacked. There's a heap of tubes of antifungal cream.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Like, that's like, the last straw. Okay. He is out of there.
He's like, I'm out. I'm not even touching her.
Oh my gosh. So I just laughed so hard. So then he goes.
Yeah, go ahead. At the hostel, he meets Basil and.
Yep.
Who's the other one?
Bodie.
Which I'm kind of
stinky Basil.
Yes. I know. And I love how he's like, no bullshit. He's like, dude, you can't pick up chicks because you smell. Like, he's just like so.
Yeah.
He's so not, what's the word? I don't know. He's very abrasive.
Kind.
Yeah, he's not kind. He's very abrasive. But in the end,
he's blunt.
Very blunt. Very aggressive. But in the end, Basil does actually like take his advice and then gets a chick.
if Christopher Miles knows anything, he knows how to get chicks.
He knows how to have, yes, for sure.
Yeah.
I just wish we got more of them towards the end. I'm hoping we get some more in the Miles Ever After. I would love
the friends. They were hilarious.
They were so like that, funny.
Yes. They're kind of like, you know, not at odds at first, but a bit like, you know, very different people. And then they have that white party and they get drunk together. And by the end of the night, they're like, the three men are like doing the Macarena together and saying, we're so good at this. We should be strippers.
Yes. And yes. And they go, even when they go to find him a shirt, it was just funny. You know what I mean? Like that whole, anyway, love that crew. But anyway, the female in this book is Hayden, who he meets at the hostel. But what I love about Hayden is her job.
Oh my gosh, I have it highlighted when she describes. Too. Oh, I sure do know her job.
He goes, "You wank bulls?" Yeah. Oh my gosh. She's like,
"No.
I get them ready to do business. How? Yes. Do they watch cow porn?" Like, what? The whole thing was so funny. And then
Oh my gosh, it's so funny.
No,
she gives her the details and he's like, "You have a bull fleshlight?"
Yes. Yes. She goes, "No, I set them up with a hot little heifer and then we have a fake vagina heated to 63 degrees Celsius and filled with KY jelly and they do their business in there." And yes, he goes, "You have a bull fleshlight." I was laughing so hard.
And the two guys, so it's Christopher and Basil there. And they're Christopher's like, "What do you do with the bulges?" Bulges. Basil laughs. "That's fucking funny. You should get that on a t-shirt. Professional bulgizer." And then she tells them how she impregnates the females.
Yes.
And she's like saying, they're like, "Do you do it with an operation?" They're like, "No, how do you do it?" And she holds her arm up. And indicates sticking it in something. My eyes widen in horror. "You don't." She smiles with a nod. "I do." "Your whole hand?" She karate chops the top of her arm. "My whole arm."
And I love how Christopher's like, "You think you know someone?" Like, you know, like, geez.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he goes, "Do the bulls know that they aren't fucking the cow?" Like, he's like, "No.
Yeah.
They think it's a real thing." And then he's like, maybe I should buy myself a fleshlight. I mean, if the bulls like it. The whole scene.
Oh, so funny. Oh my gosh. I'm crying a little bit. So, you know, I used to work in animal health. And so a lot of my friends that I worked with were animal health techs. And that's part of their schooling that they have to do. So they would tell me these great stories of all the things they have to do, like both to impregnate the cows, but also to check for pregnancy and stuff. And there's more details there than I think you want to know. But interesting fact, then I started working as a nurse in birthing, and we did a lot of water births. Now, when you're doing a water birth, a glove that comes up to your wrist ain't gonna cut it.
No.
So we literally had those veterinary gloves that they use for this process because they come up to your shoulder.
That makes sense. Yep.
And so we use those so you can stick your hands in the water and you don't get the birth water all over
yourself.
Yeah. So there you go. I've had two careers where I had to wear these giant gloves. And now I'm talking about
Now you're talking about it. That whole scene. But that leads to the next really funny part.
And so this is like where they actually meet, right? Is this what you're going to talk about? The taxi?
No, I was talking about when they go and get the job at the
restaurant. That's after. Yeah.
What was the taxi part? What were you
So Christopher arrives, the day before? A couple days before Hayden does to Christo. The hostel. Christo. And so Hayden is coming from the airport, taking a taxi to the hostel.
Oh, yes.
And she witnesses this scene. It's his first job because he has to get a job because the chick stole all his money.
Yes.
So he starts driving a taxi. And on his first day, he's like driving this guy. And all of a sudden, the guy's like, "Oh, I don't feel so well." And then we get it from
her perspective.
Hayden's perspective, because she's like in a car behind. So she has like Christo opens the door, pulls the guy out just as he pukes, like all over the car. And then she doesn't know who it is yet. So it says the driver puts his hands in on his knees and bends over. He begins to throw up alongside the other man. The first vomiting man says something to the driver, and then the driver seems to lose it and pushes him over. He falls onto the ground as he continues to vomit. I put my hand over my mouth at the spectacle in front of us. Jeez. The driver begins to yell, "It smells so bad." He grabs the side of his cab to hold himself up. "Stop vomiting before I knock you out." The driver loses control again and heaves before projectile vomiting too. It's coming out so fast, it's like a fire hose.
Yeah. The whole, I just like poor, it's what I love is that you just picture Christopher Miles, you know, yeah. Spoiled, entitled, you know, like, and just not use, and it's just like all downhill. Like, yeah. But he doesn't want to give up and prove his brother's right, you know, so
right.
Like, I got to keep going. No,
oh my gosh.
What I was talking about was when they go to work at the restaurant.
Yeah.
And they're, she's Cosmo and Helga.
The names in this book are stellar.
So funny. And then he, when he gets mad at the spaghetti guy, he goes,
yep.
Right. So he goes to like bring the order to the table and he's like, pasta. And then someone goes, what pasta is it? And he's like, spaghetti. He goes, what's spaghetti? And he goes, I don't fucking know.
What did you order?
And he just like, what is it? Whatever the one you ordered is. Like, he's like going back and forth, like, I don't understand. Like, and then, you know, Hayden, aka Helga, is like, it's a great job. And he goes, coming from someone who fist fucks cows for a living, I don't think he's qualified to call it. I just like, I was dying. But that whole, the whole scene. Oh, and then she orders, someone asks for an orgasm drink. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that part? And yep. He's like, go and ask her what's in an orgasm. She's like, my fucking dick, that's what. Like, I'm just picturing. Oh, yeah. And then she's like, you said you've done this before. I lied. Like,
he is not a good waiter.
No, not even a little bit. But the whole thing is just so hilarious. I was laughing the entire time. Right then,
yeah.
There's an issue with the hose. She's like, the owner's
oh
like,
my gosh, they get all and they go outside and they're like laughing so hard they can't even stand up.
Yes. But I'm like, oh my God. Like, the whole thing just killed me. I was laughing.
Yeah, it was so funny. What did we miss? Well, before that, we missed the part where, when she sort of they're meeting, but not really, is where she sees the taxi vomiting thing. But when they actually meet, so she's lying down on her bed in the hostel, which of course is in the same room as Christo. Yeah. And he comes in and he's just like, door bursts open and she's like in the bottom bunk. So he doesn't realize she's there. He's like, what the fuck? He tears his shirt off over his head, throws it on the floor, rips his jeans off. Fucking disgusting when I get a hold of that guy. He takes his boxer shorts off and kicks them to the side. And I get a full frontal, tanned skin, muscles, 8-pack stomach, and the hugest dick I ever saw. What the hell? He turns and bends over to get something out of a backpack. I get a full view of his naked butt and then some. And then the other roommate comes in and she's like, ooh, somebody left me a snack.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. I am not a fucking snack. I am a main meal, a 10-course fucking banquet for your information. And he goes to shower and then he comes back and that's where they actually meet, like names face to face. And she sees his face for the first time and she goes, his face is better than his dick. And trust me, the dick is good.
Yes, exactly. I just loved their whole, I love their whole relationship and I also love
it. Oh, they're so funny.
She kind of like brings him down a notch. Do you know what I mean? Because he's So throughout this book, there's like a series of different jobs, right? Mm-hmm. So the next one is... The next one is when he has to dress up as the
Bingy Bear.
And he's like, I've come to the conclusion that this suit is hotter than Satan's asshole.
He says it smells like ass too when he tries. And the person that hired him, whatever that's there, she's like, I know. He's like, well, why don't you clean it?
Yeah. I just love it. It's like these bad jobs that, like, you know, he's never even had, not even bad jobs, just jobs he's never had to do in his life because he's had everything handed to him, you know?
This job was pretty bad.
That was
the kids attack him. I dressed up as a mascot when I was like a teenager and I was volunteering for the aquarium. I dressed up as a beluga whale.
Why am I not surprised that you did?
Yeah. I've done almost everything, Lauren.
I'm realizing that.
I will not say it smelled like ass. It did, however, smell bad because it's like that thing is hot.
I know, they're
and
hot.
Everybody and wears it. And even if it doesn't smell like BO, it's just like, you know, that smell of like,
people
gross. Have sweated in this before you. It's super gross.
And also, like, how
times
do you,
and
how
I was like, okay, that's it.
Like, how do you clean it? Lice all the inside?
I think you get, well, now I bet they should at least Febreze it after every use.
Something.
But something. Back then, I think they just had to dry clean it every once in a while. They probably still do that.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But,
I haven't done that, but but anyway.
So it's another very short job for Chris.
Very short job. Very short. But during this whole, you know, so Christopher and Hayden end up getting very, very close during this whole time.
But not sexually close, just like bonded close.
Yes.
Friends.
They become very, very good friends.
Yeah. Which, although they do start it off with a kiss. Remember they have that kiss at the full moon party?
Yes.
Where everybody's supposed to like the DJ instructs.
Oh, and they say how many people you slept with.
How many people you slept with and then kiss with tongue. And her answer is one.
One.
And his answer is, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
But he's stuck on the one thing. Like he gets really obsessed about that. And then the kiss is also amazing. And then he starts getting messed up where he's like, why am I like super drawn to this girl?
Yeah.
Well, she's not my normal type. And she's just the whole time, she's like, I'm not going to sleep with you. And they just basically are at an impasse with that. He would like to sleep with her. She realizes that they're already becoming such good friends. She doesn't want to mess that up. Mm-hmm. And that's where it sits for a long time.
Yes.
During a long time. While they're having all these hilarious things. There's one point where, do you remember when, I think it's just Chris and the boys and they're out walking and he says something about that, like, because they've had these terrible jobs. He said, maybe I should just be a gigolo. Oh, no, Hayden's there too. Because she goes, oh, yeah, so you can like go down on like unwashed women for an hour. And he's like, what? I would obviously pick and choose my clients. Yeah. And Basil says, obviously, because hot girls pay for sex all the time.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I just love, like, such, like you said, such different people coming together. But I love that.
And I actually,
you know, it's, I don't know if that's how things actually are in hostels, like when you go backpacking, but I love that, even though they are from different areas, like they still kind of form their little group, you know, that they are with. And
I actually asked my husband because he's hostel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's backpacked as well. I did more like the hiking kind and he did like the traveling kind. So he stayed in hostels in Thailand and stuff. And he said, yeah, it's like that.
It is like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I actually read him the first scene where there was like when Christopher first gets there and they're like people beer bonging and whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of like young, drunk.
Right. Yeah. I would imagine that's what it is. Yeah. I mean, but the whole, like, you know, I guess like finding your people and sticking with them, you know, like it kind of reminds me of college, you know, like essentially just
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anywhere you go, right? Find the crew you bond with. They're lucky that they're all so different in that room. And yet the six of them end up becoming friendly enough that they travel together for months.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So eventually, though, things kind of cross the line with Christo. And right,
yeah. And she's been saying stuff like, you know, I value what we have, and he says, I won't change. It won't change a thing. And she's like, it will change everything.
Yes, they do hook up, not fully, right? Because she has her period, right? And then he leaves.
Yeah, and he's so sweet with that, though, right? He goes out to like get her supplies and uses his hand as like a heating pack for her.
I make my husband.
But then, yeah.
But yes, then he kind of like freaks out and leaves. Yep. And goes back to London early. He had to go back to sign paperwork, but he leaves early, essentially, because he freaked out over the feeling he totally developing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he hears like that about that from his brothers. That's where like it's so funny, again, the dynamic between the brothers and when they're going over like we just did, like all the crazy things that happened with Christopher's jobs. And there's the one bit where the brothers are talking about Jameson has like RFI. Do you remember that?
Yes.
His two fingers are sore. They classify it as repetitive fingering injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but then they talk about all the difficulties because by now, the fourth book, the first three brothers are married. Yes. And like
with
we
kids.
Find out that with, yeah, the first brother, Jameson, he has three kids. Mm-hmm. The second brother, Tristan, well, he has the three that he adopted from that were his wife's already. And yes. then there's
then
two,
they have
I think.
Girls, yeah.
Elliot doesn't have any kids yet that we know of, mm-hmm. but he was just the last book. So we're getting all these stories, and like Christopher's like, it doesn't sound good to him, you know, about like yeah. when the kids come in and then your sex life yeah. is affected. But it's really fun. And he gets the story from them of like, how did you know? How did you know someone yeah. was the one? And so one brother, Tristan, says, well, she was just like this really cool friend who was way cooler than me that I desperately wanted to fuck. And
there you go. Right. Yeah.
Jameson said, I just wanted to be near her all the time. Like I was obsessed with her, but different obsessed. I hated going home without her mm-hmm. and would avoid it at all costs.
Yeah.
And then Elliot said the biggest thing for him was he didn't want to sleep with anyone else. Like he lost all attraction to other women overnight.
Yeah.
We saw that happen in his story. So they all have, they're all slightly different how they describe it. But what sticks with Christopher is the quote from one of the brothers, my life became better because she was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he realizes, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Hayden did for me, right?
But yeah, but you know what? What they say, it is so true. I mean, I can even just relate being married, you know, that is exactly what mm-hmm. it is. My husband and I, we were just saying, we've both been traveling back and forth a little bit. I've had to go down to our house to get things ready. And then, you know, he went away to visit his family. And then I just went away with friends. And it's so funny because we actually haven't had this much time apart in a really long time. And when I first went away, like he was like, I don't like you not being here, you know? And yet I'm like, I know, I don't sleep well without you next to me, you know? And so then when he went away Aww. To see his family, same thing. Like he was like, I really miss you. So
Aww.
It's just funny though, how it is so true. Like that is how you know, they are essentially your best friend mm-hmm. and you just want nothing more than for them to be there. You know, like I don't,
yeah.
even going away for a short weekend with my friends, I don't sleep well without my husband in bed with me. Right. So I also don't sleep well in my, if it's not my bed in general,
right
like away. Yes. I don't know if you're the yeah. same way, but
I am the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Like yeah. I just like my bed, my pillow, but mm-hmm. I really dislike not having him next to me. So,
yeah.
And he's the same. So it's just,
I know it doesn't mean you can't have best friends that are girls, right?
Right.
But like
oh,
if,
for sure.
if my husband's definitely my best friend too, and I can't imagine him not being, this is so sappy, but like, because literally you spend all your time together.
You do. Yeah.
And like, hopefully forever. So yeah. what the heck am I going to do if I don't like him? Do
you know what right.
I mean? If I don't like spending time with him, if I don't like yeah. just hanging out and doing whatever with him,
yeah.
That doesn't
my husband,
bode well.
Like we both work here in at our home. Like we're literally together all the time. So
right.
we have that conversation frequently. We're like, wow, it's pretty awesome that like that is how you know. Like we are literally together every single day. We work together. We barely, very rarely have time apart, but we still would rather be together than not. You know, like
yeah.
it's
yeah.
it, we just do better having each other. So it's
yeah. and not in like a codependent weird
no,
sense.
No.
Like
yeah,
obviously
no.
you guys do take time apart.
Oh yeah.
You do travel
absolutely.
And do your own things and all
yes.
that
I
stuff.
I wouldn't call us but, codependent. Yeah. But
no, but you realize that you actually yes. like
exactly
and you function well being together.
We do. I was yeah. like, I like you. I like having you around. Yeah. You know, so
Aww,
it's
that's so sweet.
But I loved how they said all of that because it really is true. All
it
of
really
those things.
True.
That's how you know. You know?
Yeah. So. It can't just be like, you know, that initial chemistry, lust, passion.
Yeah.
That's great. And hopefully that lasts too. When it does, yeah. that's also amazing. But it's going to change, right? Like
yeah.
you can't just have that. That's not enough to sustain a relationship. You have to have all the different levels and different things that click together.
Yeah.
So exactly. that's what all these Miles boys have found out because they yeah. all used to have that thing.
Right.
They had that down well.
Right.
But at a certain point, it wasn't fulfilling. And then at a certain point, even when it was still fulfilling, suddenly they met someone who changed it all for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was like a really, it's like, huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can relate to that.
Do you know what's funny for me is I actually didn't like Christopher that much at the beginning, you know, like he's
yeah.
just, he seemed like more of a womanizer than any of them.
Oh, for sure.
Even though
like a total
Elliot was the one called Casanova.
Yes.
Yeah. He was like, you know,
yeah. Christopher would be the
threesoming every night. And
yeah, but not only that, like I feel like if Christopher came up to me at a bar, I'd be like,
yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, you can just turn right around.
You know you're hot.
Yeah, like I don't need you. No, nope, goodbye. You know, like he's that kind of like a showboater. That's the vibe.
Oh, totally. He knows what he is and knows what he can get. And I think that's what kind of throws him with Hayden.
Yeah.
Is that she's not buying that.
Yes.
And she doesn't even know the half of it. She doesn't know that he's like also right. super rich.
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't care about any of that.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think discuss that at one point in the doesn't that come up at one point though? And she's like, I don't care. Like what, right?
Well, it comes up in kind of a weird way. So he is hiding who he is. He says he's a teacher at first.
That's right. And then he says he hates kids. And she's like, aren't you a teacher? Like, yeah. Right? Yeah. And then he's like, I'm just kidding. I'm a janitor.
Yeah, that's right. You know? So he says later, because he feels like he's going to tell her, but then he actually goes the wrong way. And he says, instead of saying, I'm actually like, you know, a media mogul, he says that he is a janitor. And she's like, I don't care about that stuff. Like, that doesn't matter to me. And it's sad to me that you thought it would matter to me. But just like us, she even says that she can't believe that they're such good friends before that. She's like, wherever he is, he's a center of attention. Everyone wants to be with him. Whereas she's like wanting to blend in with the walls. They're very different. And sadly, she kind of she says, I know it would all come crashing to an end if something happened between us. I would instantly become one of the groupies he fucked and not his treasured friend. I couldn't hold a man like Christopher Miles, not for long anyway. But she's wrong.
She is wrong. So he goes to London.
He goes to London.
Comes back.
Yeah, with this new realization.
Yes.
That he wants to try. He's never had a girlfriend. He's 31, has never had a girlfriend.
Yeah, he talks to his brothers mom, say that therapist thing, right? Yeah.
She sent him to a therapist when he was 10 because he wouldn't. And now this was familiar to me too, that trait of being a perfectionist. And if you don't think you can excel at something, not even wanting to try it.
Yes.
That's very familiar to me. And it's good that his mom took him to a therapist, although it sounds like there wasn't really any follow-up. Like she identified the problem, but then nothing was done about it.
Yeah, right. I noticed that too. I'm like, so what'd you do about it then? But
yeah,
I mean, it is what it is.
No, took her to the therapist, figured out the thing. So he realizes that he wants to try with Hayden. So he goes back and meets her after work. And she says, took your sweet time. And he says, trust me, it was anything but sweet. He kisses me softly and his lips linger over mine. What have you got to say for yourself? He gives me a big, beautiful smile. Let's fucking do this.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
So that's where they actually start dating. Mm-hmm. Elliot gets them a night at a hotel because they're still at the hostel. He's like, I don't want to be here. So he pretends that it was like his grandfather's coupon or something, but gets them this like, which in a way, I mean, it's their grandfather's money originally. Right. I guess that kind of makes sense. But I like this part where Elliot was like, don't drink too much or else you'll fuck up while having sex. I frown. Define fuck up. Be too rough. That's a fucking thing? I gasp, horrified. Yes, that's a thing. Nice girls who haven't had sex in forever don't fuck like you do. You need to train her up, gentle and easy for the first few rounds. And that's a consistent theme through these books too. And I had conflicted feelings about it at first, but it is what it is with these boys. They have... They're very, very well endowed.
They are, yes.
And physically, they start slow and warm their women up.
Yes.
Hence the RFI.
RFI, yes, there you go. But I do love, they go. I love that they, you know what we forgot to mention? We forgot to mention the boy.
Oh, Eduardo.
Eduardo, right? Eduardo?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, they start.
Yeah, Eddie.
After a while, he says, call me Eddie.
Yeah. That was so super sweet, too. But yeah, so they're like together and Eddie kind of becomes like their almost like their adopted child in a way. Mm-hmm. Right. Because he sees and Hayden realizes that, too. And I think isn't that where she realizes that Christo is actually very sweet because he realized that Eddie didn't have a place to live.
Yeah, that happens a little later, but even earlier, that is, she does see a sensitive side of him through that relationship. Like, Eddie has a cell phone that gets broken when and Christopher goes to buy him a new one, and she's like, it's like $19, $100 iPhone.
Yeah.
He's like, I just feel really bad. Like, he does. Yeah. And they knew he's like 14 and working to support his grandmother at home. This is the story that Eddie told them. But Christo is just always like looking out for him. Like he doesn't even want to leave Spain for too long. Like they're supposed to go travel all around and he wants to keep coming back essentially to check on him. It's very sweet. And then he's kind of like, it's almost like a big brother, little brother situation at first, like the program.
Yes.
Like the big brother's program, you know, like spends time with him, is looking out for him. He gets in a bar fight for him when there's like some drunk dudes like being rude to Eddie. He like, that was pretty funny actually, because he starts yelling at them in French. And the other girl and Hayden are looking, and the other girl's, he speaks French. And Hayden's like, he fights in French. And the other girl's like, that's even better. Yeah. Hayden's like, yeah, actually, it is even better. And then what happens later is that they've actually broken up. So do you remember how that breakup happens? Mm. They're together for a bit, and it's wonderful. They have like this wonderful week in the hotel, and then they go back to like the hostel life and working. And,
oh, wait. Before you get there, hold on. Before that happens, we have to talk about the yacht. That's another
the yacht.
They get a job working on the yacht in Greece.
They get a yes, right? They do. So they're working
what
at
the fuck do we know about boating? There seems to be a lot of shit to do. Like, yes, they get the job on the yacht in Greece.
And the way they get that job is because they were working at a sex club in Amsterdam.
Yes, and they loved them working together, right? Yes.
Yeah, Christopher was like, you know, behind the bar and didn't really know what he was doing, but he was just like dancing around and all the ladies loved him
like
and stuff.
Energy.
So this person saw them and wanted to hire them. So they go to this yacht and they're supposed to wear the same clothes that they wore in the sex club. And Hayden's like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like that was at a sex club. I blended right in. I'm not going to be like a private waitress for some rich dudes on their yacht. That's like hire hooker, you know, if you want, like that's not me. So the girls end up dressing in like fruit costumes, but the guys still have to wear like be topless with red sequin bows and body glitter. And Christopher realizes that this yacht is owned by his brother's
Julian
best
friends. Yes, which is actually another series of T.L. Swan. I have not read that one yet. You haven't either, right?
I haven't. I really wanted to do this first and have these guys out of my head. Not, well, I don't know if they'll be out of my head, but
I haven't started it either. But it's,
I think the other guys are in the books too, aren't they?
They are. So it's
Spencer Jones,
Julian Masters.
Yeah. And
I'm trying to find the whole
Garcia, Sebastian Garcia.
Sebastian Garcia. I'm trying to find. Oh, yeah. Julian Masters, Spencer Jones, Sebastian Garcia. So those are all other books of hers. So yeah, I have to, and I hear they're all really good. So I have to read those.
I wonder if the Mileses make appearances in those books.
I'm sure they do. I feel like their lives are all intertwined. I mean, I know that happened with Ferrara. That's another one of her books. And
he's been in these ones too. He's enemy Claire's, in these books.
Yes, but he was friends with Claire, remember?
Like arch enemy of the Miles family.
Because it's the other media company. Yeah.
Yeah. And like in this book, when Christopher and Hayden finally go public, it's Ferrara Media that posts a very unflattering, like, even photoshopped. Hayden's like, I don't have cellulite on my ankles. Like no one on earth has cellulite on their ankles. It's like not even possible. But she's very strong and it actually doesn't bother her at all. But Christopher is furious that Ferrara Media would attack her, get at him through her, basically.
Yes.
I'm interested. I knew about that book, but I'm going to have to read that now. But I already like kind of hate him. And do you remember what he also in book one in the stopover, when they're at some event and he comes up to Emily and says, like, hits on her and then says something about, she's like, well, I'm with James and Miles. And he's like, well, I love taking things from him, especially women.
Yes, I do.
I was like, ugh, you're just so gross and sleazy and I don't like you. And
I know, but I'm sure there's a better side to him, you know?
Well, there must be, but I bet if we, even in these books, sometimes the Miles brothers, I'm like, dang, you're mean.
Yes, I think that's probably, they're just
want to get on your bad side.
Right?
Yeah.
They're cutthroat. Yeah, that would be like the best way to, yeah. But yes, that was funny.
Because he tells the boys to pretend they don't know him.
Yes. Don't fuck this up. You don't know me. You know? And then, they all have to They all burst out laughing, right? Yeah, because he's, I'm just reading, rereading this part, and they're all just basically like, they make him a, you know, they embarrass the hell out of him, you know? Like,
do they like tweak his nipples?
Yes. 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 But then he says, you do all this for a girl, and that's Masters. And mm-hmm. he's like, she's not a girl. She's the girl.
Oh, so that was a good line.
I know. Yeah, I like it was that. A really good line. Yeah, if you fuck this up for me, I'm going to kill you with a smile on my face. Like, you know, like he's like, I could just picture him like whispering, if you fuck this up for me, you know what I mean? Like,
totally. Yeah. In his red sequin bow and shiny body chest.
But I love that he, again, he does it for her, you know?
Like, he does it. And so later when they do become public and they go to like a benefit kind of thing and she sees them there again and the one guy is like, I told you we'd meet again, and she's yes. like, well, that's when that all dawns yeah. on her and she's like oh, click click click
yes
oh yes. I understand. Oh, so we should talk about the part where he actually reveals that he's not rich, because that's not yeah, good yeah. right okay
oh yeah I'm
so the part right in between that, so when they're on the yacht and working that job and before she actually reunites with these guys once they're public, mm-hmm. comes the big reckoning, like the realization that he is Christopher Miles and what that means. And unfortunately, he chooses not to tell her until they're getting in the limo in New York.
Yes.
He has brought her home to meet his family, essentially, and kind of there's a limo waiting there for her. And he says something like, you know, have you ever heard of Miles Media? And she's like, no. And he said, he's not a cleaner. Mm-hmm. She hasn't heard of the company. So she's like, it's a media company in New York. And she's like, yeah, so she goes, well, but I'm Christopher Miles. And even then it takes her a while to click in. Like they get mm-hmm. to his place and it's this crazy two-story over the top glitz kind of place. And, she finds out that that's not even his primary home,
right?
That he lives in London,
right?
And they have a huge fight. And she's like, so what, were you expecting me to move to London? And he goes, I can't live in bumfuck nowhere while you play with cows. The Miles boys like that expression. I noticed that it's in bum every book.
Nowhere.
Bumfuck nowhere. Yeah. he's mad because he thinks she's judging him for having money.
Right.
And they do work hard, and his whole family worked hard. Like, it's family money now, but the company was started by his grandfather, you know, and they do work very hard. So he's furious at that. She's furious not even about that at all. She's just furious that he lied to her for a year.
Yes. She's furious that she does not know the man she's fallen in love with. She's, mm-hmm. There's a whole piece of him he doesn't know. And I would be furious about that too. Like, why not just come clean to me? It doesn't mean I would have turned you down, you know, like why wait till now, you know?
Right. Because it also makes a big difference for their future. If he's, you know, a janitor or whatever job that he could essentially do anywhere versus like he's tied to living mm-hmm. between London and New York, you know? So what does that mean for her, who's a country girl and has this like multi-generational piece of family land? Yeah. And of course, when they're fighting about it, to go and like insult it like that, like when Christopher is reiterating the fight to his brothers, he says, she told me she's not moving to London and then asked me if I would move for her. What did you say? I said, I'm not living in bumfuck nowhere for her to play with fucking cows. Well, there you go. Jameson throws his head back and laughs out loud as if it's the funniest thing he's ever heard. You are so fucking stupid.
Yep.
Because like, why would you say that?
Right,
come on. Why? Like, yep. Way to not only make like you're in the wrong here, but he really doesn't recognize that he's in the wrong. He's feels right. like he's the injured party. And
yes. Playing victim.
Yeah. It's like Christopher goes through like realization after realization after realization in this book.
Yeah.
That things are not really like he really did no shit.
Like, yes. Yes.
He knew the business life. He knew how to get girls. Mm-hmm. He did not know anything about like women, marriage,
right.
relationships, himself.
Right.
How the world works.
And Tristan says,
circle.
Tristan's like, you lied to her for 12 fucking months. What did you expect? Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. what did you expect?
Yeah. And then they say that something about her wanting commitment and control. And that's not like about her needing the control, but just you can't take the control away from her. Like, you don't just get to have it. And Chris says, she wants a commitment. I'll marry her tomorrow. In my mind, I'm already married. They look at me horrified. It's that serious? Yes, I look between them. Are you two dumb fucks listening to me at all? This is her. This is the one. And Jameson like laughs and it says, out of all the women in the world, you fall for the one that hates money. Oh, the irony.
Yes. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And he does then realize, though, like luckily this fight doesn't last too long. Like, I think he basically goes back to his place and she's sleeping in the spare bedroom. And he says, you know, he realizes it was selfish, but he was afraid that it would change things, because it always changes things when people know who he is. And that's why he went on that adventure in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then he was basically just scared.
Yes. To tell her. Yes. Yeah, they work it out. And then, I'm just scrolling.
Then she meets the family.
Yes.
And I love this part because not only, you know, I love a good epilogue. And so I love when we get these peeks of what the mm-hmm. boys from the previous books are doing. But here we actually get their wives. So we get Emily and Claire, who are both pregnant, both with other children. Mm-hmm. But they know exactly what it's like to come into this family.
Yes.
So I was a little sad that Kate wasn't there. It gets explained away that she's in Hawaii with her brother.
Yes. Which we got a piece at in the Casanova. So yeah,
we did. And we find out here that they actually bought a home there. So yes. They split their time between London and Hawaii. That'd be a long flight.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long flight from Connecticut. So
yeah, for me, it's short because I'm West Coast.
But, right. Right.
Yeah. So, but we get a little bit and they know exactly what it's like to come into this intimidating situation. So they're like, here, drink. Yeah, like, yeah. And they're just really welcoming. And so is the parents. They're very welcoming. So that all really helps. And she says something to them about, you know, does it get easier? Because they say we were the same. And they exchange looks and laugh. Oh, sweetie, it doesn't, but you'll get used to it.
Yes.
Oh, great.
But then he goes and meets her family.
Her family.
Which is very funny.
It reminded me a lot of the scene where Tristan meets Claire's kids.
Which is my favorite scene in all of these books. And here's why that is my favorite scene. I am also a mom of three kids. So I imagine that this, if I was Claire, this situation would be similar in my house. I was cracking up over the comment of there being shoes all over the place and like mm-hmm. how many people live here with all these shoes. Because if you came into my mudroom at any given day, any time of day, there are so many shoes on the floor of my mudroom that you'd be like, wait, is there like a whole army of people living here? Because there's shoes everywhere.
Same.
And the bikes and the toys all over the yard. My backyard right now is filled with all that stuff. And it's just so fun. And remember at one, what did he say? One of the sons made a comment to him, like, and he was like, did she give birth to Satan? Like, what, you know, like something along those lines. Because the kids are just crazy. And that is my life on a day-to-day basis. All right. Yep. You have kids, so I'm sure it's similar.
I do. Yeah. So, similar. Yeah. I have two, not three, but yeah, it's the same story.
Same thing. So it's just funny because, yeah, so I got the same similar vibes because you're just like, what the fuck? Like, you know, like someone who doesn't know. It's a lot. I always think of my brother who's in his late 20s, and anytime he comes over my house, I swear it's like birth control for him because he's just like, like, there's just so much, you know. But
we have to let's read a tiny bit of that from the takeover because it is literally one of the funniest scenes ever. So Claire has gone away, remember, to this conference and then to France, and she's come home, and her son has found men's boxers in her suitcase.
Yes.
And so he's furious and he's like, you're grounded, Mom. What were you even doing in France? And they're fighting. And this is the time that Tristan shows up. And he says, when he's looking at all those shoes scattered around, he says, does fucking centipede live here or something? Yeah.
It's so true, though.
And so the front door opens and the biggest kid, Fletcher, comes out and he's yelling, is this him?
Yeah.
And he goes, you, I'm going to kill you with my bare hands.
Yeah.
My eyes, this is Tristan's thoughts. My eyes widen in horror. I step back and stand on something, a skateboard. It rolls out from underneath me and my ankle turns and I step back as I fall and I tumble down the six stairs. Ah, I cry as I hit the ground with a thud. Claire runs down the stairs. Oh my God, Tristan. The huge kid comes running down the stairs and starts whipping me with something across the head. Stay the hell away from her. Stay the hell away. He's still whipping him. And then he holds something up to his face. Are these your underpants? He sneers. Are they? He holds them up to my face. And when I don't answer, he gets infuriated and begins to suffocate me with them as he tries to stick them in my mouth.
She also oh has a great God. Sense of humor in these books. I'm telling you, like,
it's so funny. And then he goes inside, but then the second kid, Harry, is doing all this like creepy stuff, like pretends to hang his teddy bear and like in front of Tristan. The only normal kid is cute little what's his name? The little one, Patrick.
Yes,
Patrick. He's a sweetie. But yeah, these crazy scenes of these meets. That's like in the do-over. It's like all this stuff goes wrong. When he goes to the house, which is on a farm.
Yes. Yes. Very different on a farm compared to his everyday.
Oh, yeah. And she totally like goes like teases him about it too. Like says his mom's going to, she says her mom is going to cook awful for dinner.
Yeah.
Like
yes.
left.
Oh
like
yes. Organs. Yes. Joking. Yes. She, yeah. yeah. She jokes around. And then he, he meets the dad who's not really thrilled. Right. He is not very happy.
Nope. The dad seems pretty protective and yes. He does not welcome him very nicely.
Yes. He also observes her helping a cow give birth.
Yes.
Yes. She passes
and he
out.
Faints.
he faints from it.
Says, hey, my eyes widen in horror. Hayden has her arms up a cow's ass to the armpit. Or is it a vagina? Or is it... I feel the blood drain out of my face as my knees go woozy. I don't feel so. He hits the ground. But there's actually a bonding moment after that because Hayden makes her dad take him for stitches because she's still helping the cow deliver a baby.
She can't leave the cow.
Yeah. And it is kind of funny and they do start to have some kind of like realization with each other after that. Oh, and especially because her ex comes.
Right. Reggie shows up. Yep. I'm scrolling Reggie shows up right now too. And he is pissed. Christopher is pissed because he was not nice to her.
No, they were high school sweethearts and then they were together for a long time, but then he, cheated on her and
yes,
it broke
up. Exactly. Yes.
And now comes to like beg her forgiveness.
Yeah.
Like 3 years later.
Yeah. And he basically threatens. And then her dad sees what Christopher says, right? And I think that was probably what sealed the deal to be like, okay, he's a good guy, you know?
Yeah. He like basically pushes him out and like, you had your chance. Don't fuck mine up.
Yes.
After that, as they're saying goodbye, he just basically asks Christopher to take care of her. Because she's told her parents that she's going to move to London with him.
Yes. They're
going to see, like, try that out. And that's where the stuff happens with the benefit and her picture getting into the media and all of that. And it starts out okay. But after a while, she realizes she's not a city girl.
Right.
Like, she is just not happy there. Like, she's happy with him and she loves him. But he works a lot and she doesn't have anything to do there. She's bored. And they have a big, huge fight about how basically, you know, they have to choose.
Yes.
Like one of them has to live a life that they don't want. And they have that big discussion about like, you know, sometimes love isn't enough and we'll love each other forever, but it's not going to work out. It isn't a fairy tale.
And it's very sad.
It
is very sad. I imagine this is how London is very gray and rainy. Is that right?
Yep.
Similar to Seattle. Yep. And I've always said my husband's from Washington State. Granted, he was here when I met him. So we're obviously not relocating to there. But I personally do not do well in cold and rainy weather. So I really could relate to Hayden in this scene because this would be me if I had to live somewhere where the sun like never like shined. You know, I would just be so... I mean, I'm like that in the winter. My seasonal depression is starting now. So I could for sure. It is. I know. I don't. I'm a summer girl. So I could relate to her with that. You know, she just couldn't deal with it.
She couldn't. Yeah. And it's really sad.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crying and then they spend a bit of time apart. Mm-hmm. And while they're apart, Chris is still keeping in touch with Eddie.
Yes.
And then like at one point he can't get a hold of him. So he calls the hostel and the guy at the hostel basically is the one that says, because he says, you know, I tried to text him or can you text him for me or something like that. And the guy's like, well, don't text him. He's like, why? He's like, well, he can't read. He's like, what?
Yes.
He can't read or write. Chris is like, that's ridiculous. Of course he can. He's like, Chris, like, you know, he's homeless, right?
Yeah.
He's like, what? Like, he thought he lived with his grandmother. He's like, he's an orphan. He lives in an abandoned building around the corner.
That's right.
He
has nobody. For some reason, I thought that was in the beginning, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no, it's at this part. And so basically he goes there and sees, like, you know, it's an abandoned building. He has like a sleeping area set up. He has like a little gas stove. It's just like, it's really, and he's a 14-year-old kid. It's just really sad. So he basically says, look, I want to take care of you. He says, and the guy's like, you don't have to take care of me just because we're friends. Like, it doesn't have to work like that. I can be on my own. And Chris says, I know you'd be completely fine here. You're very brave and strong on your own. But I kind of feel like we belong together, you know? Mm-hmm. His eyes hold mine. And who knows? I shrug. Maybe your mom organized for us to meet.
Yeah.
His eyes well with tears as he stares at me. And I don't actually know what the hell I'm doing with the kids. So be patient with me, okay?
Yeah. Yes. And so then Hayden comes too, because she also can't get in touch with Eddie. And she also starts to get very worried. So she
arrives and finds that and Chris is already there in the hostel. And so he tells her everything that's happening and how basically he's going to bring Eddie back to London to live with them. They're just doing paperwork, which is going to take like weeks and weeks because he doesn't have like a birth certificate or anything. Right. And after a while, Chris has to go back to work. So Hayden stays in Spain to like keep an eye on Eddie.
Yes, but there's that piece in there where they hook up again
in the shower.
And he basically treats her like one of his, you know, any day fuck. Right. So
yeah, she feels like he's detached.
Yes. Very detached. He admits that he had to do that in order to like, not, I guess,
to try and find closure.
Yeah. 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 And he doesn't like that he did that. He says, I felt so low. I used her for sex, you know, and he just, it's a very sad scene. But yes, Hayden does stay, and she also helps him learn to read.
She does.
And write. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And they keep in touch with Christopher, and it's like 4 weeks later that she actually stays with Eddie to fly him to London.
Yes.
And Chris is there to meet them, right?
Yes. Yes.
And he drives and he drives and he drives and they don't end up in the city.
That's right. I love that part. Yes.
Yeah.
And there's the sign on the pole that says bumfuck nowhere.
Yes.
I love that. Yes. Yeah.
It's adorable. So, he essentially says, you know, this is my, I can't remember if he actually says it's my brother's farm or she assumes that because Elliot walks down from the stairs and says, you know, welcome home, whatever. And
yes, he's there. And so, yeah, she says, yes.
Pull into a driveway and a sign is hanging on a pole beside the gate. Bumfuck nowhere. They go up there. Elliot's there. Elliot takes Eddie to go look at the barn or whatever. And she remembers that Elliot had a country house, which is something that we saw happen in Casanova because also his wife likes that life and he likes that life. So he has a farm outside the city as well. That actually is also freaking hilarious with the ducks and the sheep and stuff on his farm.
Yes, that is very funny.
They go into the house and he looks at her. There's it's all full of like flowers and candles and everything. And he says, I realize something, Grumps, which is what he's been calling her for since the beginning. It doesn't matter where I live because you are my home. And as long as I'm with you, I'll be happy. I bought this farm for you.
Yeah, I love that.
And then he does the whole on his knee proposal and everything and says he'll commute to work in London. And hopefully this, you know, it's not her family farm, but hopefully this life works for her. And
yeah,
it does.
And I love that she says, he says, I can't live without you. Bumfuck nowhere is our compromise, you know?
Yes. And then she goes, we're not calling our farm bumfuck nowhere, Christopher. Yeah. Why not? He kisses me again. Hopefully there's going to be a lot of bumfucking going on here. I burst out laughing, you idiot. That's been an ongoing joke from the beginning as well, because she's not into it and he keeps trying to wear her down and say like doing romantic gestures to wear her down. Yeah. And she even like sometimes there's one line where they're staying in bed together and just like gazing into each other's eyes and he says something really nice to her and she goes, is this part of your anal romantic wooing?
Yes. I love it. But what's so funny after that is like you have this sweet moment and then all of a sudden, remember Eddie was like, there was a growl and they're like a wolf, and he gets all freaked out. And so Hayden goes out there and like basically scares the shit out of him.
Yes, because Elliot and Eddie both come like running in through the front door, and they'd heard this growl.
Yeah. Just like, this is a bunny. And then Eddie's like, she's dead. She's dead. Like they're freaking out together.
Because she's like fine to be out on a farm, right? She's like, you guys, like, you're scared of a little wolf. And so, she just like jumps out at him and scares him.
Yes.
So funny.
But I love the very ending. The ending is just so sweet. So I love that we have, like the Hayden Christopher bond, but I love the Eddie piece of this story so much. That was just so heartfelt, and I loved the whole story of it. But I love how the very last line he tells him to call him dad, and I just like, Christopher, I feel like, went through so much during this whole book. Like, it's literally a roller coaster of emotions and experiences, and him going through these realizations. He basically went from a showboating, like, spoiled, entitled, my shit doesn't stink person to that's what he was, to being completely changed just from this life experience of traveling for the year, for a year, and all of that. And he gains a wife and a son.
Yeah, and he says, like, in the conversation right before that, where he says, call me dad, he says to Eddie, he says, a family isn't just the one you were born into. I told you before that I felt like we belonged together and that we met for a reason. Hayden and I have been talking, and if it's all right with you, we'd like to adopt you. We'll return to Spain with you whenever you want, but I want you in my and Hayden's family, the three of us. And I love that concept. There's a lot of mentions that Christopher and Tristan are a lot alike. They look alike. They act alike. And both of them are stories where they kind of all of a sudden become parents.
Yeah.
Two teenagers.
Yes. Yes. I know.
That happens in similar both stories.
Yes. And I love that. It's just so sweet. I love all of these books because it's smut and they're super spicy and sexy, but the stories are still so great. Right.
So great.
Compared to some others, that I've read in the past where, they're spicy, but maybe the story kind of lacks, you get, it's like the whole experience. Like, it's just everything about these books. I love, there's not one thing I don't love about them. I want to know more. And I can't wait that there's Miles Ever After. The one thing I highlighted that cracked me up is when she talks about Spanx.
Oh my gosh. That's the thing I said that we forgot to talk about, and we have to go back to it.
So funny.
First of all, it starts like a Pretty Woman scene, right? Yeah. Like, he takes her to a place and is like, give her anything she wants. She needs everything. And they suit her all up, and she's like, puts on Spanx to go under her dress when she's getting ready later. And what does he say?
He asks, what is this? And she's like, what? Those gigantic underpants, Spanx. Hayden, when I look at those, the last thing I'm thinking is spanking you. And she's like, oh, they hold all your bits in, smooth everything out. And it's so funny because my husband and I have had this conversation too, because anytime if I'm wearing like a figure forming dress,
tight thing,
it smooths it out. And then he was like, this is genius marketing. And she's like, what? And he's like, they package grandma underpants with the promise of making a woman thinner, smooth, and rewarded with spanking. Brilliant. I need to hire the marketing head of this company. They totally nailed it.
Did you hear that, Sarah? What's her name? Yeah. Sarah something, is the woman who started Spanx.
Is it? Yeah. And she's like, it's what married women wear. And he's like, I have to tell you, and I know I speak for all mankind, not a huge incentive to walk down that aisle. It's so funny because my husband's always like, what the hell is that? And I'm like, it smooths it all out.
Like, listen, any woman you see, like a celebrity woman who's wearing anything fitted at all, is 100% wearing at least one, if not multiple pairs.
I love my Spanx.
I do too.
They are fantastic. I own multiple pairs, different types. If I'm wearing a dress like that, I'm absolutely putting it on.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like wearing a supportive bra, right? It's just like a different kind of undergarment. It's not necessarily to make you look different. It just like holds things in the right way. And and it's just comfortable. I would rather wear a Spanx with shorts, like a full
Spanx
with shorts, than wear a bra and underwear.
I'm the same way.
I hate bra bands. They drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Like I would rather wear anything like a full, like a bodice type style versus like an unband under my breasts. I hate it. Drives me crazy.
I also don't like when you can see, especially in something that's more figure forming, if you could see the band of the
in the back, especially. Yeah.
Or like even, again, you could see... I mean, even wearing like a seamless thong, sometimes you can still, depending on, it all depends on the fabric type too. It's not necessarily just like the style of dress, but sometimes like there's,
it doesn't have to be tight even, but if it's like satiny.
Exactly. There's some fabrics that just fit differently than others. And so really wearing Spanx like just gives it like a smooth canvas so that the article of clothing can lay on it nicely, you know? So
yeah, and like totally looks aside. I personally just find them more comfortable. So you know what? They don't have to cinch you into like, you know, make your body what it isn't, but it can just fit you and be comfortable.
Yeah.
But the best is his closing line of this segment where he goes, "Take them off," he calls as he disappears up the hall. "My woman has curves."
Yes, I do. I do love that too. Even though they don't, I mean,
they don't disappear your curves. No. Well, I guess they can if you wear the right kind. And sometimes people wear multiple kinds to make them extra tight.
Mine don't. They just like,
but those are more like shapers, like body shapers.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. I don't have shapers. I have smoothing, where you can, you're not seeing like the lines and stuff. Yeah. But I guess it makes sense. But yeah, I loved it. You know, another one that I loved, and this, another like random part is when, Triss and Elliot basically get bombed on margaritas in the bar and they call it,
Margarooted.
I loved it. He's like, I'm margarooted.
I don't really get why rooted. Why is it margarooted?
I don't get it,
but it's funny anyway. I was like, it kind of made me think of that thing where people think they're so funny when they're drunk and you're like, well, that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's so funny. And which is really sweet actually too, because it's a recurring thing in these books that the boys mainly just drink scotch.
Yes.
They're always drinking scotch. Mm-hmm. And sometimes at 9 a.m. when they're stressed in the office. But Hayden likes margaritas. So when Christopher is like all torn up trying to figure out whether like why he feels this way, because he's never felt this way before. And he goes out with Elliot. He orders margaritas. And I was like, what?
Yes.
Why are we drinking these?
I know. Yes. He's like, why? Yeah. He was very confused.
Like, it tastes so terrible.
Yeah. It was so funny. But after that's also the part where the girl Nikki wants to hook up with him again. Right.
Oh, yes.
And then he's like,
him from the beginning.
Yes. He was like going to do it. And then is like, no, like I can't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he actually, it's like what Elliot said in this book and also in the last book. Like he just lost his attraction for other women. He's like, this should be super hot right now.
Yes.
Like it's described quite in depth what's happening on that couch. And he's like, this should be super hot. And it's not. And he kicks them out.
Yeah.
And I think that's a realization for him too. Yeah. That he has probably had 15 years of that, if not more. Mm-hmm. And it's not satisfying for him anymore.
Yep. I loved this one. I really did. I mean, Tristan, I think, is still my fave just because I can relate being a mom. And I loved that about that book, because I feel like, you know, a lot of these spicy books that we read, it's usually like two single people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they have one kid, you know, or not. But I feel like this is the first book I've read where you know, you have a mom who has three kids and she's widowed and these are older kids, you know, and there's so much more there.
And she's older. She's 38, older. Right?
Right.
Whereas the other girls in this are like in their 20s.
Yes. So I really, and I remember in that book, her being like, I don't look like these younger girls. Mm-hmm. My body
She
is
talks
different.
About stretch marks.
Yeah. And so I feel like that's why out of all of them, that one's my favorite, because those are things as a mom that, you know, I mean, your body is not the same as it was before when you were in your 20s. You know, it is very different. Things stretch out more. Things aren't, you know, I mean, sometimes sex doesn't even feel the same, really. You know what I'm saying? Like all these things. So I loved that Tristan, who, again, you know, womanizer, like most Miles men, you know.
They are all.
Yes. And ends up just totally falling in love with her and her boys.
Her kids.
Oh, yeah.
And says that too. Like, yeah. You know, she says to him right in the beginning why they can't be involved is like, there's three hearts that come along with mine.
Yes.
And I need to think of them. And then he pulls that on her later when she tries to break it off. And he's like, you know, I have fallen in love with you and I have fallen in love with these boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a big fight that they have because he wants to adopt them and she doesn't.
Right. Because
she thinks there will always be her deceased husband's boys. Yes. And sees that as being dishonorable to him, whereas he sees it, her kids see it differently. They actually say to her, we think dad sent him.
Yeah, I love that part.
Like, what do you think dad would want? Like, obviously, they're so straightforward about it. They're like, of course that's what it is. Like, how do you not see that?
Right. Yes, I absolutely loved that part and how they were all like, obviously dad sent him. And it's just, so again, I loved getting that perspective because I feel like I would probably be thinking along the same lines as Claire, right? And you get the boy's perspective and it's like, no, like that's not it at all. Like we do want this, you know? Like, so I that will always be my favorite one. I don't know about you, but who's your fave? Is it Tristan?
Still Tristan, then Christopher.
I feel like Jameson's probably my last.
Yeah, I really, when I first started reading the first book, I didn't love it because I got a bit of like a sexual harassment in the workplace vibe. But it was just, it's just that like boss underling thing because he was very forward with her and like pushing her up against the wall of his office and she was trying to like say no. And so but that was the dynamic and that's a whole trope in itself, right?
Yeah.
But it just took me a little while to get into him.
Same.
So I think...
Yeah. Elliot surprised me. I liked Elliot
more than I
thought I was going to. And I also loved that whole, the art piece of it.
I thought it was really beautiful. Kind of like that fate storyline running through it, that he's always been drawn to these paintings.
Right.
And then finds out that like these were her paintings that painted
as like. That her sister was selling and acting.
Pretending that she was an artist and sold these paintings that she found in their parents' house after their parents died.
Yeah.
That was awful when I read that about her sister selling off all their stuff.
I know.
I was just like, what?
I know, but I love
because I've recently gone through that emptying parents' house and I can't imagine what I would feel like if my brother had gone in there and done it without me.
Yeah. I just loved though that how she tied all of that together. I thought that was really, it was so good. So yeah. And I loved the farm part and all that. So yeah, I feel like for me, it would be Tristan, Christopher, Elliot, Jameson. Like if I had to
Me too. If I had to pick. Yeah. Because you know, we can have a lineup.
Why not?
But they all have so much in common, right? They look alike, they work for the same company, or at least they do until Tristan resigns at the end of his book, right? To run the wife's company. To run it and make it successful again so that his boys can inherit
it. Yes. I love that.
Lovely. They all love to wrap their women's hair around their hands. ponytail wrap is a common move. They all really, really enjoy going down on their women for extended periods of time. There's so many similarities, but then they each have their own distinct personalities and each book has its own kind of, you know, they could be so similar because the boys are so similar, but each book is different.
Yeah. I love it. It's just such a great series. I cannot wait. I don't know if we have any info on Miles Ever After, do we?
I think it's the new year is all I remember reading about it, but it's going to be extended epilogues for all the families.
Okay. Yeah. I can't wait to get that. I'm so excited. I just love that. And I love that we got bits and pieces of everything or all the previous stories throughout them all too.
So. All tied together.
But I want to see more Basil. I called him Basil, but it's probably Basil.
Yeah. I wonder if they like will show up for their wedding or something.
Yeah, probably.
It'll be great. Yeah, there's one line. I thought this was kind of funny because it's sort of, you know, I like when authors poke fun at themselves. Mm-hmm. When in the Casanova, when Elliot is looking at Kate's books, he's looking along the spines of her books and he's like, what does she read? Ugh, a romance reader. I never would have guessed that one.
Yeah.
I was like, that's what we're reading right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, it's definitely a great series. I'm so glad that you got me into it because you did when you read The Stopover, whenever that was. I love them all. And I'm definitely going to delve more into her catalog.
Yeah, well, I got to read The Masters, Mr. Masters. That's what everyone is telling
me. Everyone says that one should be next.
I have tried others. I've also read...
You read Stanton, right? Didn't you?
I read Dr. Stanton. One. I liked Dr. Stanton. I read the first in the Stanton series, but it was not my favorite, so I didn't read the rest.
Okay.
There was a piece of it that... I couldn't get on board with, but that's okay. I mean, it doesn't mean the others aren't great. Like, it just wasn't for me. So
I think that was one of the first ones, isn't it? Or at least when I look at the list, you know, inside the book, it shows all the previous books by that author. Those ones are always near the beginning. So yeah, I wonder if probably. Those were earlier in her writing as well, which can always make a difference for authors.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes a book will just have something in it that you can't get past. And yeah, so when I first read The Stopover, it took me a while to get into Jameson, but I stuck with it. I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
And Christopher, too. I didn't like Christopher at the beginning of his book, but then he won me
you
over.
You knew to stick
like
it out.
He won over. Yeah, I knew to stick it out by then. Yeah. They are so steamy. I feel like this one might have had the most sexy bits,
like individual scenes,
which was nice. I like a book that starts with, like, you know, where you don't have slow burn has its place, but these kind of books where they start with a bang, literally, and then there's some stuff happens in between, but it kind of keeps you, gives you that little bit of steam throughout the book, is kind of a nice different way to go about it.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable to read.
Exactly.
Have to have a glass of water beside you for when you get a little
and a fan.
A little warm. Or a partner, you know, ready to go.
We did get a message from Lindsay over on our SpeakPipe about the Miles Boys. So I'm going to play that one now for you guys.
I absolutely loved this entire series. I could not decide which brother I liked better. And now I've gone down the rabbit hole of reading everything by this author. She's amazing. Quick, easy reads. A little bit steamy. Everything I love.
So spot on to what we just said, right?
We
love it.
Literally our just discussion.
Love it.
What a great way to wrap it up.
Yeah.
And gives us encouragement to make our way through her back catalog too.
Exactly. I know. So if any of you have recommendations for other T.L. Swan books that you have loved, please comment over on our Instagram at LitChicksRead and let us know so that we can pick those up too. Because again, I love this series. So I wish you could keep going. I wish there were like 20.
I like mixing up my reading, you know, like, you know that I'm a mood reader. So like sometimes I want a book like this. Sometimes I want that slow burn small town romance, you know? So I definitely need to decide what order I'm going to tackle these in.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for Miles High Club and The Do-Over by T.L. Swan. Again, if you're not following us on Instagram already, our handle is at LitChicksRead. We will include our Patreon link in the show notes as well as our SpeakPipe for you to leave us voice messages. We'll announce the next book that we plan on sharing over on our Instagram. So that is the best place to follow along. And as always, we appreciate you guys listening so, so much. This is so fun for Cheryl and I, and we have a list of books that we cannot wait to chat about on here. So if you could like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast streaming service you are listening to us on, we would be so appreciative, right? And
absolutely.
I think that's all for now. So we will catch you guys next time.
Talk to you later.
Bye.